Most people in our world are just surviving. Learn how you can thrive. We're learning about four triumphant truths on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. Don't go anywhere. It's coming up next. Thank you so much for joining us once again for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. We are so honored that you took the time to join us for our program on this Lord's Day. We are looking at a study we have started a couple of weeks ago, and that's four transforming triumphant truths. And we looked at, first of all, a proper view of who God is. We need to come to a position of faith and believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then last week, we looked at not only a position of faith, but we also looked at the Word of God, and that the Bible is our handbook. It's a manual for life and for death, and it teaches us so much about who God is and directs us in our life. And this morning, I want to take some time and look at our third triumphant truth, and that is the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 is going to be our text this morning. If you have your Bible, would you take some time and look at this wonderful passage of Scripture? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. I'm going to read it for you here. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show that exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, and not of works. Verse 9, Ephesians chapter 2. It's amazing to me how people can look at that passage of Scripture and still believe that they can get to heaven by their own work, by their own deeds, by their own merit, by their own methods. The Bible makes it clear that salvation is by the grace of God. And God's grace is getting what we do not deserve. And that is salvation, so rich and so free. There was a famous preacher that was driving through a small southern town. He was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. The preacher admitted his guilt. He was told by the officer that he would have to appear in court. And the judge asked the preacher if he was guilty or not guilty. And the preacher pleaded guilty. And the judge replies, well, that'll be $100. And as the judge was writing out that ticket or doing the paperwork, he recognized the famous minister, and he looked down at that ticket. He said, you know what? You violated the law. The fine must be paid. But then he reached into his wallet. He pulled out a $100 bill. He says, I'm going to pay for that ticket for you. And so he took that money. He attached it to the ticket. And then he took the preacher out and bought him a steak dinner. The preacher then looked at the scenario, the situation of his life. He said, listen, that's how God treats a repentant sinner. You see, mercy is individuals not getting what they do deserve. That's God's mercy. But then grace is getting what we do not deserve. And that is God's grace. Listen, there's not an individual that's listening to this radio program here this morning that does not need the grace of God. Sometimes I meet someone that, you know, declares, I want justice. I want what I deserve. And this is what the prodigal son said to his father. I want what is owing to me. But the reality is that there's no one in this world that wants what is owed to them. Because if we got justice today, we would all die and go to hell. We need the grace of God. And we are all guilty. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's by God's grace that we can enjoy salvation. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, it teaches us about the grace of God. So let's take some time this morning here in our program, and let's think about God's grace. Number one, Ephesians 2 teaches us of man's condition. And you have he quickened, and who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says here that we were made alive. The word quickened is to be made alive. I was teaching a Sunday school class last Sunday, and I asked the boys and girls, what does quickened mean? And one little boy raised his hand and said, it means to go very fast. Quickened means to be made alive. An old English word means to be made alive. The Bible says that we were dead in our sins. Someone said death is the separation of a person from the purpose or use for which he was intended. All we like sheep have gone astray, the scriptures teach us. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because of our sins, we are spiritually dead. But not only are we spiritually dead, the Bible says before the Lord Jesus Christ saved us. This Ephesians chapter 2 is speaking before we've met the Lord Jesus, or before we've placed our trust and our faith in Christ. Before Christ, we were following the pathway dictated by the devil himself. And the Bible says, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Look at this. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now, the prince of the power of the air is the devil himself. And so this is the pathway in which the world is following. This is the pathway that is led unnoticed by the world, by the devil himself. We think of, you know, our world, the eras and the fads of this world, and we think of the popularity of this world and the entertainment of this world and the message of this world. The Bible says that the course of this world is led by the devil himself. Now remember, the devil is subtle and is in his work. He's subtle in his deception. And so the Bible says that subtly he is leading, he is dictating the pathway in which our world is following. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible speaks of a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life everlasting. And the scripture says that everyone is on this broad road, and you can think of this massive pathway with great hordes of people, and they're shoulder to shoulder, and they're pressing forward, and they're following a pathway, and unnoticed, they're following this pathway to destruction. And unnoticed, they're following this pathway that is dictated by the devil himself. And the Bible says that there's a narrow road. And this narrow road, very few find it. And this narrow road leads to eternal life. And this narrow road is a pathway of grace. Grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace found by the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are following the devil. We are living in our vain desires, verse 3. The Bible says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It refers to the old sinful nature, commonly called the flesh. And the Bible says here that the desire of humanity was to live for self and to please self. And these fleshly desires was the purpose of people, the purpose of life. Now, it's like our appetite. You know, we get hungry, and, you know, we get really hungry, and we're like, wow, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse, right? That's the expression, I could eat a horse. And we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and then we have this attitude, I never want to eat again, until 20 minutes later, and then we're hungry again. And that kind of just teaches us the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. They're never fulfilled. Solomon uses the expression that they're soap bubbles. They're soap bubbles. You strive after a soap bubble, and you grab that soap bubble, and guess what? It pops. It disappears. You can never obtain a soap bubble. You can never hold on to a soap bubble. You can never keep a soap bubble. And that's the lust of our flesh. That's the purpose of humanity in our world. If you look at our world today, you will see a world chasing after and trying to fulfill the desires of their flesh. And this is why people are so unhappy, because those desires cannot be fulfilled. Those desires cannot be completed. They're going to be longing again and again and again, and it won't take long before they're longing for more again and longing for more in their life. And so this is the life that is lived as described in the Word of God. Number two, not only we see man's condition, but we see the characteristics of God found in verse number 4. Now, it would look pretty hopeless if it wasn't for verse number 4 in our Bibles. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. The Bible speaks of God's great love. The word great there means abounding. God's abounding, wonderful love. For verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins. Now, when we think of death, we think of something that's final. In our world today, when we think of death, we think of something that's final. We think something that's done. There's nothing that we can do about it. When God told Adam and Eve that if you take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die, And they took of that. Adam took of that fruit. He ate of that fruit. He disobeyed God. And he plunged humanity into sin. His eyes were open and he could see what is good and what is evil. And he died spiritually that day and began to die physically that day. You know, when we think of his spiritual death and our spiritual death, for we are all born sinners. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And the word "men" there is used to represent humanity. For all of us have sinned, and we all have come short of God's glory. So think about this, if we could, for just a moment. We are all dead in our sins. And it would seem final when humanity was plunged into sin. The devil celebrated his victory because now humanity, who is created in the image of God, would have to face the same fate as the devil himself, the lake of fire. And yet God had an eternal plan that he would become sin who knew no sin, that we might place his righteousness, God's righteousness, upon ourselves, so that when God looked at us, he wouldn't see our sin any longer, but would see his Son, and we would be declared righteous in the very sight of God. So when I read verse number 5 and the Bible says, "Even when we were dead in our sins," I think of God's eternal plan that even in hopelessness and helplessness, God reached down to us. God came to us. But God, Raymond Edmond in his book, "But God," said that this word "but" is a conjunction with a difference. But God, who is rich in mercy. We were lost. We were dead in our sin. We were separated from God. We were on the course dictated by the devil himself, and we were headed to a devil's hell. But God intervened. Romans 5:8. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God came to us when we were dead. God came to us when we were hopeless. God came to us when we were helpless. This is the wonderful grace of God. God came to us. God is rich in his mercy. The word "rich" means to abound. God is abounding in mercy, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercy that we do not get what we do deserve. Never say, "I want what I deserve." My friend, that's a dangerous statement. God's mercies are new every morning. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Psalm 103, verse 11. Merely 93 million miles away, beyond the furthest galaxy in the heavens, so great is the mercy of God. The Bible says he came to us. The Bible says he came with his abounding mercy, and he came, verse 4, with his great love. God is love. God is love defined. You cannot truly understand what love is until you know God. And the word "love" there in the Bible is the word agape. A selfless, sacrificial love. A love of the mind, of the reason, of the will, as well as the heart and affections. The agape love of God. It is the love of God that goes so far that even a person that does not deserve to be loved, a person who is utterly unworthy of being loved, a love that would love its enemies, this great love of God this love that is abounding like a glass of water that you begin to fill. And as you fill this glass of water, it overflows and you keep pouring it in, even though it's overflowing. That's God's love. It's just it's abounding. It's overwhelming. God's great love for when we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet preadventure for a good man would one even dare to die. Man, humanity would barely give their life or scarcely give their life for a righteous man. He would barely give his life for a good man, but never for a criminal, never for an enemy. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we were God's enemy. Romans chapter 5. Christ died for us. And so he offers salvation to us, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He makes us alive in Jesus Christ. The word quickened there again means to be made alive. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. There's a strong connection in the Bible to the word life and the word Jesus Christ. For Jesus is life, and he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. In Jesus, we have life. And again, this is a constant theme in the Bible. Over and over and over again, God teaches us this truth that through Jesus Christ, there is life. And there's no other way. There's no other hope, no other peace than knowing the Prince of Peace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God gives life through his grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. And the Bible tells us that he gives us mercy, abounding mercy. But what about his grace? Oh, his grace is wonderful. His grace is abounding. He's the God of grace. And he gives us so much. He gives us wonderful blessings every single day. To be a child of God, to know that our sins are washed away. I think of Luke chapter 15 and the biblical picture of the forgiving father and the prodigal son. And this is a picture of grace and mercy. This is a picture of what God wants to do in your life. But the father, Luke chapter 15, verse 22, and the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. This is called grace. And God wants to give you grace. We are raised up together as God raised up his son from the grave. We are also risen in the Lord Jesus. We are made alive in the Lord Jesus, and we are sitting together in heavenly places. In Christ, our salvation is already complete. The Bible says we are complete in him, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our life. We are able to sit together in heavenly places. We see humanity's condition and God's character, and let's think about quickly God's crown. We are created in the image of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The ages to come, for all eternity, we are the crown of God's creation. Now we think about creation and God created this world in 6 literal days. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And God made this wonderful world. He said it's good. When God created man and woman, he said it's very good. But remember, God, the Bible teaches us God's going to burn this world up. This world will be destroyed, and God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But listen, for all eternity, we are going to be the trophy of the grace of God. And this is what God can do with a lost sinner who was dead in their sin, who was hopeless and helpless. This is what God can do in their life. He can give them eternal life. He can give them a home in heaven. He can give them grace and mercy. This is what God wants to do in your life today. And this is the third triumphant truth, is to recognize the grace of God. No matter how far you've been from God, no matter how long away you've been from God, listen, He wants to save you and give to you eternal life. Would you embrace the grace of God? Would you ask Jesus to be your Savior? Lord, I know I've sinned against you. Lord, I know I deserve hell. Wash my sins away by your grace and give me a home in heaven. Friend, if you've prayed a prayer like that from your heart, then you are born again. Maybe you're a Christian and you've gotten away from the Lord. Hey, listen today. He's still your heavenly Father. He wants to do a wonderful work in your life. Would you come back to Jesus today? Would you give your heart to Him? Oh, friend, today, make eternal decisions even now that would bring glory to His name.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.